All right, open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. We'll start in verse number 12, 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 12. Still here, the leaves are rustling. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse number 12, the Bible says, "For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and your liberal distribution unto them for unto all and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you." Now listen to this verse number 15. "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless this time together. I pray your Holy Spirit would speak through me. Help me, Lord, to be yielded to you to preach your word. And I pray that if anybody's not saved, that they'd get saved before it's too late. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless the song to follow. Bless Miss Stephanie as she sings. And Lord, I pray that you just speak to our hearts today and meet with us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's good to have her feeling better. I know we missed that one last year. It's a yearly tradition here at Bible Baptist. She sings that, and then the Koontzes sing Mary, Did You Know? So the Koontzes have changed it up a little bit, but Stephanie's kept it right on target there. Thank you very much. All right, before we start this message, just real quickly, first few people, raise your hand and tell us what Santa brought you. Quickly. Yes, Caleb. Soda. Man, you are easy to shop for. I hope my son just says, "Daddy," you know, when Cade was having his birthday coming up, he said, "Daddy," I said, "What do you want for your birthday?" He goes, "Nothing." I was like, "All right, sweet." And then once he opened up his first present, he's like, "Wait, what was I talking about?" So now he wants everything for Christmas. Yes. Elsa, you got Elsa for Christmas? Oh, that's awesome. Yes, Destiny. Yes. Say what? Adora? Okay, I wasn't sure if you said Dora or Thor. I was like, okay, Thor. All right. Curtis. A skateboard. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You know, we went through junior church. The reason why I did this, actually the same message in junior church, and I'm going to get to it in a little bit, but we went through a junior church, and only one kid actually said something that I would have ever thought of asking for Christmas, and that was a basketball. The rest of them wanted tablets and iPods and iPhones, and I thought, good grief, things have changed. Christmas lists. All right, any adult, you guys, adults didn't get anything? Yes, Ms. Simpson. Family home for Christmas. Nice gift there, right? Yes, Josh. Oh, awesome, man. Hey, now that's a gift right there. That's one of those gifts that keeps on giving, isn't it? Steven. A 35 caliber rifle. Who gave that to you? Oh, wow. It's a hand-me-down rifle. That's a little scary, though. Steven with a rifle. I don't know about that one. That's right. Abriana? An American Girl doll? Wow. Yes. All right. I'll take a few more, and then we'll get on with this. Evan? Some beads. Like, oh, I was going to say, boys don't wear beads, do they? Got my beads. What are they called? Beats. All right. I thought maybe you were also talking about beats, because those are good, but... not something you people usually ask for Christmas. Yes, Isabel. An American Girl doll. All right, that's it. Okay, thank you. Those are all great gifts. But the truth of the matter is, none of them were unspeakable, right? I mean, an American Girl doll, you can describe it. It's a doll. It's a girl with long hair and very expensive clothes on. So, you can describe that gift. A gun, you can describe the gift of a gun. A gun can leave its mark. A describable mark like what's on my forehead. If you want to know about that, maybe I'll explain in the afternoon service what happened right here. Suffice to say, I basically got shot in the head, okay? Now, but that's a speakable gift. Everything that was mentioned was a speakable gift. Now, when we talk about this gift that the Bible's talking about here, what makes it speakable or unspeakable? Wow, junior church kids were sharper than you all. They raised their hand, they said, well, it's amazing. I said, that's speakable. It's wonderful. That's speakable. It's the greatest gift ever. That's speakable. What makes it unspeakable? You get to thinking about it. I know y'all didn't raise your hand because you're trying to say, well, it's unspeakable. That's why I can't say anything, right? But there has to be something about it that makes it unspeakable. The first thing that makes it unspeakable, in my opinion, is the term holy. Because holy is a term itself that is unspeakable. When you think about it, the Bible says, because it is written, be holy as I am holy. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, we have God telling us that He is holy. Now, try to describe holy. Unspeakable. The word holy means sacred, physically pure, morally blameless. In the 1828 dictionary, it means proper, whole, entire or perfect in moral sense, free from sinful affections, perfectly pure, complete in moral character. We call a man a holy man when we consider him to be somewhat godly. So do we truly understand what the term holy means? We really don't. I as an individual, you as individuals, we all don't understand what that term really means. When we think about the word holy, we can't fully grasp it because there's nothing about me that's holy in the sense of the holiness of God. And there's nothing about this place, this world that we live in, this country, this city, this state that is holy like the holiness of heaven. So we can't comprehend holy. We can't comprehend the holiness of Christ. We can't comprehend the holiness of heaven. We can't comprehend the word, the term holy. It is clear we do not understand holy. So therefore, we can't understand someone holy coming down and how big of a deal that is. And we can't understand it because of the next term. Because we're not holy, the next term doesn't have the same kind of weight as it does to someone who's holy. And the next term is sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Sin is simply an offense or contrary to God. Now, we comprehend sin far more than we comprehend holiness. Am I right? This is yes, this is no. Try to get y'all to liven up a little bit. Stand up and do some jumping jacks. Ready? We comprehend sin, but we don't comprehend holiness. We've never experienced it. We've never tasted it. We've only been in the presence of holiness, but even in that, we're still in a sinful world. We're still in a sinful body. We don't comprehend the total opposite of the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man and the sinfulness of this world we live in. And so when you think about the holiness of God coming down to this earth, it's unspeakable that someone so holy would come down to something so sinful. Now we don't see it as bad as He does because we're not holy. We don't notice half the sin that Christ notices. I mean, how often have we driven by a billboard and not even really noticed the inappropriate picture on that billboard? Now, let's be honest. How many times have we listened to somebody use a word and it just went in one ear and out the other? And we don't cringe. Let me give you an illustration. My wife grew up in a home where just about every word was a bad word. I grew up in a home where we weren't allowed to use bad words, but I grew up in a school where it was part of the vocabulary. So someone could say one of the words that we don't consider as bad. And to me, It's just in one ear and out the other. But my wife, every time you hear that word, she go, oh my, what did he just say? I'm like, I don't know, you want me to repeat it? It affected her more than me because I grew up around it, and it was the norm for me to hear that in the public school. It was the norm for me to hear that in the football locker room. It was the norm for me to hear that, but it wasn't the norm for her to hear that growing up in a Christian home, growing up in a homeschooled situation, growing up in church, going to church camp. So when she hears a word like hell used in the wrong context, it affects her way more than it affects me. And that still doesn't even give us the idea of what it would be like for a holy God to come and dwell amongst a bunch of sinners like you and I. Unspeakable. Not only did he come and dwell in a world full of sinners, but he dwelt in a world full of sin. What would keep somebody there? An overwhelming love. Another reason it's unspeakable. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Unspeakable, why? Because we don't comprehend holy. I mean, let's be honest. We go out there and what we see the world do, we consider it the norm in the world we live in. So much so that Christians are starting to do it now and consider it the norm. But in the eyes of a holy God, it's as filthy as us looking down and playing and hanging out with a bunch of cockroaches. It's worse to him. Unspeakable. What would keep him here on this earth? What would keep him amongst a bunch of sinners? What would keep him living in a world of sin and sinners like you and me? What would keep him there? What would motivate him to continue to stay and to continue to endure what he had to face in the world, the flesh and the devil and all the things that the temptations that came and hit him and was pestering at him and the devil trying to destroy him? What would keep him there? What would keep him motivated? Love. Unspeakable love. I love my wife. I love my son, my daughter. I love my parents, my brother, my sister. But we don't comprehend the type of love that he has. Because it's holy. It's sinless. And it's God's love. Unspeakable. It's also unspeakable that God would be in a robe of flesh. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, this verse here says, and was made in the likeness of men. Now hold on a second. I thought we were made in his likeness. So why was Jesus now made in the likeness of men? Shouldn't he have already been in our likeness? Because we were made in his likeness? You see, the difference is when God made Adam and Eve in the garden, he made them in a place, in a body, in a world, in a sinless way. So they were in the likeness of God. But we choose to sin and putting on our robe of flesh, we sin. And so now Jesus Christ puts on the robe of flesh and that same robe of flesh with the complete capability of sin. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. He was capable of committing every sin that you and I have ever committed. Even the ones that we consider the white lie sins. Well, it wasn't that bad of a sin. He was capable of committing those and did not. Now, you think about this. We're talking about a holy God putting on a robe of flesh that had the capability of sin. That's unspeakable. Go ahead, try to describe that. What adjective do you use to describe that? That's unspeakable. You can't even begin to comprehend what happened to save our souls. Unspeakable. How about this? You then have the holy pronounced guilty. That's unspeakable. You know, we've watched the news or heard of the stories and of the person who everything it seems like he was innocent and wound up going to prison. About a year or two ago, a guy finally got released after 13 years in prison. Got released from, I think it was Boonville. Spent 13 years in prison. They found out he was actually innocent and they finally released him. We've heard of that. But you know, truthfully, even the innocent ones in prison are still guilty. We're not in prison, but we're still guilty. Oh, sure, I didn't rob a bank. I didn't rob a gas station. I didn't murder anyone. I didn't embezzle funds. I didn't do those things, but I'm still guilty. But we're talking about Jesus Christ, the holiest of holies, was proclaimed guilty. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." You know what's the amazing thing about this verse here, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, the Bible says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin." First of all, we're talking about Jesus Christ who knew no sin, doesn't even know what it's like to commit sin, doesn't even know what it's like to taste sin, doesn't even know what it's like to be involved in sin, but just to be around and see its presence. But as a holy Jesus Christ who was put on our robe of flesh and now was not only blamed and proclaimed guilty for our sin, he became our sin. He was sin personified. So that God would not only punish Jesus Christ on the cross, but he could punish the actual sinful act itself. We all have our limits. There are certain sins that we all consider despicable, that we would never do, so to speak, and probably wouldn't. Those same sins, he became. That's unspeakable. I mean, try to comprehend that. Holiness doesn't just get blamed for the sin, but becomes the sin. Start feeling dirty, don't you? Can you imagine how Jesus felt when he became murder? When he became homosexuality? When he became fornication? When he became adultery? He became that. Unspeakable. It's unspeakable because the holy is pronounced guilty, but it's also unspeakable because the guilty is pronounced holy. Thank God for that one. Y'all can smile a little while there. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Because of Jesus Christ, because of what he endured, because of what he accepted, because of the unspeakable acts that he had to commit, because of the unspeakable things that he had to do and had to endure, we are now considered in the eyes of God to be holy and sinless and righteous in the eyes of God. It's okay, y'all can smile a little while. It's a few days after Christmas, you can still smile. The bills haven't come in yet. It's all right, smile. We're talking about the fact that you are on your way to hell. You are a sinner deserving to burn in a Christless hell forever. And Jesus Christ came and did the unspeakable so that you and I could be saved. It doesn't get better than that. Take all the Christmas gifts and throw them out. I'll take the gift of Jesus Christ any old day. It's unspeakable that He would take my punishment, that He would take my hell, that He would take my sin. Oh, well, it's not as bad as some of those sins out there, but sure, but when it's put on a holy person, it's more wicked. My lie is more wicked to Him than their adultery is to me. Unspeakable. It's unspeakable that Barabbas got to go free. It's unspeakable that Nick got to go free. It's unspeakable that the innocent was sentenced. In Mark chapter 15, verse 13, "And they cried out again, 'Crucify him!' And Pilate said unto them, 'Why? What evil hath he done?' And they cried out the more exceedingly, 'Crucify him!' So Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus. And when he had him scourged, when he had scourged him to be crucified." The Bible says in Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 26, we'll start there. It says, then it's the similar story here. It says, "And then they released Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged him," and I'll explain a little bit about scourging, but you all already know what that is, what that's all about. It said, "and delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus to the common hall and gathered unto him a whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and in a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they spit upon him, and they took a reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him." It's unspeakable that the innocent would receive such a sentence. I mean, think about this. Crucifixion was the death penalty reserved for the vilest of offenders. You know, somebody just stole something, maybe they got their hand chopped off, I don't know. But you got crucified when you did the deed. You did the bad stuff. So they take him and they scourge him. That's, you know, a cat of nine tails, basically whipping him until there's no flesh left on his back. A whole band of soldiers, because they were oftentimes back in those days, they would take turns beating them because they would get tired. "All right, your turn, dude. I'm tired. Tag, you're it." They stripped him and they mocked him and they put a crown of thorns on him. And then later, the Bible says they took the reed and they smote him in the head while the crown of thorns were still there, driving him into the flesh of his head. And they spit upon him and they removed his robe from him. It probably was not a very comfortable thing to have removed after you've been scourged. And then they put a rough, rugged cross on his back and they have him carry it to be crucified. Unspeakable that the innocent would be sentenced for me. But it doesn't stop there. It's unspeakable. Why? Because of the fact that he rose from the dead. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 2, the Bible says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And for the fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, 'Fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said." Now, it's unspeakable. Why? Because he's holy. It's unspeakable. Why? Because we're sinners. It's unspeakable. Why? Because it's a world of sin. It's unspeakable. Why? Because he came to earth and he put on a robe of flesh. It's unspeakable. Why? Because the innocent was found guilty, and because now the guilty and found innocent. He got my deserved punishment. And it's also unspeakable because how on earth does somebody rise from the dead? That's the power of the God we serve. That's the power of Jesus Christ. That's the power of that unspeakable gift, that He could come and that He could endure what He endured, and He could bear our sin and become our sin and then die on the cross and save our souls and then be able to rise again from the dead. It's unspeakable because no one else has ever done it and no one else ever will. Unspeakable. It's unspeakable that one would rise from the dead. It's unspeakable that it could give eternal life. It's unspeakable that it gives hell-deserving sinners eternal life in heaven. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 27 to 29, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them from out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than them all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." You know what I love about this verse? Is Jesus Christ says here, he says, "And I give unto them eternal life." He's saying, hey, when you get saved, when you repent, when you call on Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you accept the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as your only way to heaven, and you accept Him alone because He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. When you accept that, Jesus says, "I give them eternal life." So when you meet that person who says, well, you can lose your salvation, then you can say, oh, so you're telling me Jesus doesn't give eternal life? Here it says eternal. Well, how long does eternal last? You tell me, how long is eternal? It's forever. So thank God through the blood of Jesus Christ, through His death, His burial, His resurrection, through His unspeakable acts, His unspeakable love, His unspeakable things that He did for you and me, the unspeakable fact that He was innocent and found guilty and I was guilty and found innocent, I now receive eternal life and get to live forever in heaven, a place I don't deserve to be, a place that there is no sin, a place that's holy, a place where a sinner like me gets to go in and spend eternity in the presence of God as a holy person. Because of an unspeakable gift. Tell me about that gift. After all that I've already said, it's still unspeakable. It still can't be explained. It still can't be comprehended. It still makes no sense to me, and I'm sure to you, that that's an unspeakable gift. An unspeakable gift given to everyone. Everyone, despite their past. Everyone, despite their attitude toward God. Everyone, despite their sin. Everyone, despite their upbringing. Everyone, despite what country they were born in. That same gift, Jesus wants those ISIS people to receive as much as He wanted you and I to receive. Unspeakable. Unspeakable. What is that unspeakable gift? Luke 2, verse 12. "And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." That, my friends, is an unspeakable gift. You know, one of the funnest things about Christmas is to watch the reaction when that present is finally opened up and you can finally see the kid, my son, can finally see what it is. One of the presents he opened up and he went, "Ooh!" I don't remember which one it was, but he went, "Ooh!" And he got it out and said, "Daddy, look what I got." I was like, "I know, I bought it." But let's think about it. Every day, He gives us a new gift. We don't get saved every day, but He keeps us saved every day. And we should open that gift and go, "Ooh! He gave me eternal life. Ooh! He gave me the Word of God." Get excited about it. "Ooh! I got to hear about that sweet little Jesus boy." Unspeakable gift. A baby born in a manger. A little over 2,000 years ago. And it's still a gift that makes people go, ooh, look what I got. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity we had to come here in your house. We thank you, Lord, for this unspeakable gift. I mean, really, how can you describe it? We can list a lot of the details of this gift like we did this morning and still fail miserably. Not until we get to heaven will we begin to understand the magnitude of this gift. And Jesus, thank you for being that gift. Father, thank you for giving that gift. And oh Lord, thank you that I've received that gift. And Lord, I pray for those out there that say, you know, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven someday. When you receive a gift, you know. And so Lord, I pray that you'd speak to their hearts, that they would walk an aisle and let somebody take a Bible and show them from your word how they can receive that unspeakable gift. And then Lord, for those of us that are saved, I know a lot of times that unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ becomes like that Christmas gift after a few months. And we kind of forget about it. We leave it to the side. We don't use it like we used to. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to appreciate you and the wonderful gift that you are on a daily basis, and the wonderful gifts you give us on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, stand to your feet. Keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. You say, Brother Nick, I don't know for sure that if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure I'm saved.
That was one of my favorites. My preacher was like a second father to me, and this was his favorite Christmas song. It's a Negro spiritual, so the words are a little bit different. But the simple message behind it is just amazing when you stop and think about it.
Sweet little Jesus boy, they made you be born in a manger. Sweet little holy child, didn't know who you was, didn't know you'd come to save us, Lord, to take our sins away. Our eyes was blind, we couldn't see, we didn't know who you was. Long time ago you was born in a manger low, sweet little Jesus boy. The world treats you mean, Lord, treats me mean too, but that's a thing says down here, we don't know who you is. You have told us how we is a trying master. You have showed us how, even when you's dying, just seems like we can't do right. Look how we treated you, but please, sir, forgive us, Lord. We didn't know 'twas you.